Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio. The Nerd Hour.
Tattoos and touchdowns.
The Sunny Show.
You're listening to the shoot.
Trust us, we're hot.
Masters of none.
360 on 420.
Welcome to the Cut Print Film Podcast.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by volume.
My time now.
It's time for Dutch and Royce.
No! Welcome to Rage Quit Radio.
Get ready for Hippo Juice.
Time for the rage.
The Elvis and Albert Show.
The Cousin Joe Show.
Radio Meltdown.
It's High Society Radio.
It's all about me with Halls and Rorschach.
Shy kids.
Orange Room.
More Life Radio!
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Obviously, I was... Oh, never mind. I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Would you mind taking Colin for a walk about 8?
Huh? That's 2,000 hours. Oh, yeah.
Now, here's your host. That's Ashley, and this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Good evening, everyone. It is Tuesday night. This is Antisocial Gamer Radio, live on morelikeradio.com, as it usually is. Slightly earlier time if you're listening to this live. If you're listening to the podcast, it doesn't really matter because you downloaded it. So if you do want to listen live, usually we do go, I do go live, at 9 p.m. UK time, which is 4 p.m. Eastern. I believe, yes. But because of the clocks went back, we're 8 o'clock this week, which is slightly old time slot for me. But I'm looking forward to going back at 9. That way I can spend an extra hour playing computer games and bits and pieces. And I have been playing a few things. I've been playing a couple of things very quickly. I'll get into that in a second. I'll go through the old usual pleasantries. If you want to contact the show, you can Skype in. It's Antisocial Gamer Radio on Skype. It's all one word. If you want to email us, it's antisocialgamerradio@yahoo.co.uk. If you want to join our Facebook group for game shows on the station, you go to facebook.com/groups/MLR Gamer Lobby. Also, if you want to like us on Facebook, I appreciate it. Almost at 200. Go to facebook.com/antisocialgamerradio. Also, you can follow us on Twitter. I will follow you back. You go to @MLRGamerRadio. But yeah, I have been playing a couple of things. One thing which is I've been usually playing, But I have been doing my speed runs through Pokemon X because I want those legendary birds with the little check marks and all the bits and pieces of them. Yes, and that's... Yeah, I'm sort of out of breath because literally just sort of how quick it took me to do these playthroughs, but how boring, and I'm just glad they're done. I mean, once I'd done my first one, because I had to get myself a Zapdos, which I wanted to use for competitive, if I can use it next year, for the, what the fuck is it, for the Pokemon Nationals, which I got myself a good one, a really good one. It was outstanding and 4 perfect IVs, and so I was just sort of EV train it, and it'll be sweet as a nut. But yeah, so I'd done that for my first playthrough. That took me like 15 hours, and then my second playthrough took me less. It took like 9 hours. It's got me Zapdos. Zapdos. Got me Articuno. Got me Mewtwo X as well, because I didn't have one of them. And, yep, sort of done with Pokemon X. So now I've got my Pokemon Y version, which is pretty much got every Pokemon that I could want in it. Some Pokemon I am missing that, you know, ones with hidden abilities, which I'm after, which hopefully with Aurus coming out in about, yeah, literally a month from now. Yeah, basically a month from now, I will be able to have, hopefully, if they do some horde battles and whatever Pokemon we get from the Friend Safari, I will have some like hidden ability Pokemon that I'm missing, so I can sort of finish off all the Pokemon that I have with perfect IVs, EVs, you name it. But yeah, I say, so glad. Literally, once I finished my first speed run, I'm like, okay, I've got this one more damn time. And I literally sort of knuckled down and started playing and just sort of, you know, cracked on with it and done it. And it was a little bit boring to do it again, but I mean, I shaved about 6 hours off my time from the first speed run, which was about 15, 16 hours, to about 9, 10 hours. Yeah, it's literally just avoid every single battle that I could and just get through it. But I mean, it did help having perfect IV Pokemon. So basically, just got sent over when I got to a certain level with the badges. You know, I sent over, you know, one grass, water, flying, and kept a couple back that knew the hidden ability, hidden moves, the HMs. So, you know, surf, fly, strength, which is the only 3 you actually need to complete the game. And, you know, did that just a couple of times, done. Just so glad it's all done now. And now I can do it all again when Aurus comes out in a month. But yeah, I say literally I'm done with my Pokemon stuff mostly. I'm glad, so literally I can stop playing Pokemon on the train at work. I can literally carry on finishing off Metro 2033 because I'm about 200 pages away from finishing that. I'll knock that out in the next week or so, and that book will be finished, and I'll be glad to finish that book. There's not much to do. I mean, I have been going around to all my Pokemon that I do have on my Y version and sort of nicknaming them all, and kind of some good ones. You know, my Whale Lore is called Monstro, and I've got the Sunflower is called Vincent because Vincent Van Gogh, and you know, a whole bunch of trying to think. It's really hard trying to think up interesting names about certain Pokemon that can revolve around what they are, the animals and stuff like that, and what you've seen in myth and legend, and what's been on a Disney movie. And you know, I'm just trying to think now, is there a donkey Pokemon that I can call Eeyore, or you know, I'm sort of, you know, thinking about my 5 IV shiny Zebstriker, which is going to be probably called Marty from what the fuck was it? DreamWorks. Madagascar, there we go. But yeah, it's literally, I mean, it's hard trying to think of stuff off the top of your head. I mean, literally, I've sat down all day going through websites trying to find, okay, what do people nickname in their Pokemon? You know, just bullshit names, really, just to, you know, make it interesting, not just a standard. I mean, I don't really plan on nicknaming any of the legendaries, so just sort of leave them as they are because it doesn't really matter, but add a bit of spin and some, you know, some niceness to something that I've trained and raised, give it its own name, make it individual, even though it's pretty much a carbon copy of what I saw on Smogon. But yeah, so I have been doing that on Pokemon, and that's pretty much my Pokemon stuff done. I'm glad to have it done, to be honest. But I mean, once I've nicknamed them all, that will make me very happy. But I'll, you know, try and sort something out in the next couple of weeks to get it all done before I transfer all those Pokemon over to Aurus and, you know, make whatever Aurus version my main version, and we'll see how that goes. But no, I say that was pretty good with Pokemon stuff. It's all pretty much done now. Destiny, say, still playing that. I'm getting a little bored, I must say, but only because I've been playing it so long, and I'm not something new to play. But I say I have been cracking on with Destiny because there's still stuff to do. I mean, my character's now level 28, about to hit 29. Most of the armor that I have got is legendary. Got one bit of exotic, which is the helmet, and most of the armor, apart from my chest piece, is fully upgraded. So literally, once I upgrade the final three parts onto my chest armor, it should be pretty much nearly 30. But I know I'll need, as I said last week, I need two pieces of exotic armor to get it to 30, and I have 14 strange coins, which basically means I've got 13 to buy a good bit of armor. Hopefully, armor that I can use, and not basically something I've got before. Or I know I've written a list down somewhere about what armor I want. So I know the boots you can get, that there's like only one pair of boots or gauntlets or something like that. But I know there's like two different chest pieces, and you know, I think two different helmets. But yeah, I mean, I'm sort of, you know, I've got enough coins now so that I can buy a piece of armor when I get the right one. So basically, yeah, so I've got 13. I've got 14, so I've got 13 for the armor, and I've got one extra, which, you know, I did have an exotic bounty, but I like just got rid of it just to help with my, get my ranks up in my factions, which I'll talk about in a second. But yeah, literally, once I've, you know, bought this piece of armor, I'm going to use all my strange coins that I do get to get better weapons. I mean, I want the assault rifle that was on last week's Zur's trading list. I want that. I want the Icebreaker. I want the Thunderlord. I want all these exotic guns. I mean, I fully upgraded my rocket launcher, the Unfriendly Giant, which is better than the actual Unfriendly Giant you do get from, I think it's the Crucible Stores, the Crucible Weapons, Quartermaster or the other one. I'm not sure which is which. But yeah, literally, because it sort of fires off a rocket, which detonates and then fires off like bombs that scatter near, so it does like extra damage. It's fucking sweet. So I've been all the past week trying to do one public event a day so that I can get the, you know, want to go to the post office. I think it is the post office, and they give you, you've done your daily thing and got a gold ranking, here's your whatever exotic legendary item, whether it be Ascendant Energy or the Shards or a Strange Coin or a Mote of Lights. And I got enough of bits of the light, Ascendant Energies to upgrade it. So I did that today. I'm very happy. Haven't had to try it out yet, but I plan to tomorrow because doing lots of bounty stuff, which I'll explain in a sec. But yeah, most of the weapons I've got are fully upgraded. The only weapon I haven't fully upgraded is the, was it super awesome? What the hell was it? That's the heavy machine gun, the exotic heavy machine gun that I've got, which I'm hoping to get the Thunderlord because I need that fucking thing because it's much better than what I've got. I know John from Hippo Juice has it, and I'm very envious of him because I want that. Oh, that gun! There's so many guns that I want to make my character better. But I've got strange coins, which are going to go straight onto buying armor for myself. You know, I only need one more piece of armor to get it up to 30, so that's me fine with the armor until, you know, I've got enough to buy all the weapons that I want, and then probably work on the rest of the armor. But that's not worth doing at the moment anyway. But yeah, so the factions, which I've got rank 3 in most factions now. Literally, I've got the Crucible up to rank 3. I've got the Vanguard up to rank 3. The New Monarchy. That's it. They're up to rank 3. I'm working on getting my Future Worlds up to rank 3 now. And I've got the Dead Orbit ones to do as well, which literally this, I haven't even touched them. So once I've got to rank 3 with the Future Worlds, there we go, I will, you know, go to rank 3 with Dead Orbit, so that I'll have all rank 3. And then every time you get rank up past 3 to 4 to 5 to whatever, you get a legendary item, I think weapon or some sort. So that's something to do as well. I just want to be fully upgraded with all my characters, that way if I do need to buy a weapon or whatever, I can. I mean, I've got my sights set, because literally, I mean, the sniper rifle that I've got now for my character, for my Titan, he's the sniper rifle's pretty good. I love it. It's great. It's, you know, It's the one I've done so many of those headshots I've told you about on bikes and stuff. But I've seen, I think it's the final something it's called. It's literally, it's one of the crucible weapons, and I need 150 crucible marks for it. And the way I've been going for the past couple of weeks, I've been hitting all 100 marks. So literally halfway through next week, I should have the weapon. Because just about getting the strange coins that I do need to buy the weapons, I'm probably not going to get just anytime soon. So I might as well just spend all the money I have, the marks that I have that I will earn on this sniper rifle, which is basically exactly like what I've got. So it's the final something or other, but it's got better stats in a couple of places. And it pretty much does the exact same, but it does more damage, and it's a lot more fun. So I'll have that, and then it's that something to upgrade. Yeah, just basically just doing that, really. I'm having tons of fun. Destiny is dragging for me, because there's only so much you can do when you get to the stage where I am now with the game. I need more strange coins. I need to send energy. I need to send shards. Motor lights are great. I got a lot of this stuff happened today, actually. I mean, it's more stuff to tell you. I got a couple more motor lights, which are helpful. I mean, I saw Zur the Trader this weekend, and I picked up... It's weird, literally. I mean, the first time I did the Engram thing, because John from Hippodrews told me about it, I got myself the Hunter headpiece. It was the three-eye thing that looks like what Sam Fisher wears in Splinter Cell. It was like that sort of headpiece for your Hunter. I was like, oh, that's great, because it doesn't even work for my character. And then I used another one today, the past weekend, and I got... what the hell was it? Some sort of arm thing for the Hunter as well. I'm like, great. If I was Sean, or if I had an extra character who was the Hunter, this would be great. But it's not what I need. So literally, I just dismantled it and got some shards and used it to upgrade the characters that I have, which is good, because there's no real need for anything other than what I've got with my characters. So I'm good. I got myself a couple of parts for the Hunter class. I think for the Titans we get this plasma steel, sheet steel or something, it is what it is. And for the Hunter, you get some sort of wire stuff. So, that's there for when I need to, or decide to actually make that Hunter character. Something to do with that once I've, got bored enough with my Titan and decide, everyone else is having fun with the Hunters and Warlocks. I mean, it does feel that I sort of picked, not the weakest class, but like the class that no one uses, being the Titan. I mean, me and Royce are Titans. Everyone I know I see is like Hunters. I think Johnny Five, I'm not too sure what Johnny Five is from My Time Now. He which is coming up later after in a couple of hours. I just got literally so much more to do with the game, but it's just so tedious on what I can do. I mean, that's what I've been just doing is bounties, just to get me rank up. And any chance of getting, bonus loot or whatever. I mean, I keep getting plans for your ships. And I mean, I've got a plan today for what a ship I already had. So I literally dismantled it, scrapped it. And I was like, okay, well, this is really no use to me anyway. And, I mean, it's nice to get that sort of stuff, but it's just so tedious, really. Good stuff happened to me today. One of the challenges, which I'm still doing, which I can wait till tomorrow because there's nothing else on my list. Because I've been off today, so all the bounties are done apart from one, which is I think how was it to kill? All my the sort of non the story stuff missions, non crucible stuff is done. I finished that off earlier, and I've got like two, which is like I think kill two enemies with fusion shots at once, and I'm like, okay, that's not going to happen. But yeah, I had a rumble and I won, actually, which I'm very proud of because it's weird how my skills have gotten better since I first started playing. I mean, when we first got this game, we were playing together and I was getting my ass handed to me, and Royce was doing well because he plays Halo a lot for the multiplayer and he's quite used to how Bungie does their multiplayer. Try the multiplayer once or twice for the Halo games, but never really bothered with it. But yeah, now I'm getting, I think probably because of my character as well and how I've got him set up, I am dominating in, with Crucible stuff. I mean, I say I won the Rumble. It was like 22 kills and 10 deaths, I think, which is very fucking cool. But yeah, I started off the Rumble and I pulled ahead. I got to about, I think, was it 600-700 points. And then I sort of dropped down to third place and I was like, okay, shit, this is how I'm going to be for the rest. But then I just got a whole bunch of lucky kills in, and, you know, I used the super move a couple of times, and, you know, and I won, and I'm very proud. And the bastard thing of it is I got no reward, which is a real pain in the arse. I mean, I don't mind the reward system. I wasn't actually, you know, nice if I'd got something, but the way the whole RNG number things, you know, random number generator, it's a pain in the arse that I didn't get anything, but it would have been nice to get something. I mean, I got the most kills because I won, but, you know, I got me three little marks for the Crucible and some points, and it's like, okay, this is nice. But I mean, I just at the moment, there's nothing I really need anyway. I'm just sort of waiting for the weekend so I can see Zur the Trader, get me a piece of armor, dismantle whatever it is I have left, and then just, you know, rank up and, you know, do more stuff. But yeah, scratching my nose. I am very, very proud that I won a Rumble. I've never won any sort of PvP stuff before. I mean, there were some really good players. Amazingly good players that I've played against past couple of days on the same team as and against. And yeah, really good people out there, really good players who know what they're doing. And today I won a Rumble. Probably the only time I'll win a Rumble. I don't think I'll ever win one again. But yeah, I say it was a lot of fun. I mean, you know, before, towards the end, I was literally about, I think I had about 1,800 points. I'm like, I'm going to win. I might win. And I, you know, sort of, you know, heart was pounding. I was like, okay, try and find someone to kill. Let's kill more bastards. And yeah, I'm slight problem, tangent slightly. Slight problem. This goes out to anyone who's playing Destiny. When you're playing and you see an enemy run past you, or you run past an enemy, don't fucking run past them. Stop. Turn and shoot them in the head. I've been playing so many games this past couple of days, and it's literally okay. I got killed by someone, and then suddenly the enemy run past one of my teammates, and my teammate does fuck all. And I'm like, well, he's right there. He ran right past you. And me and some of the players that I have noticed are very. We watch how our the radar. How the radar is, and we, you know, okay, we see a blip in facing, you know, 12 o'clock. That means someone's in the distance, and then it sort of blips on the big bar. Okay, yep, that means they're close. We will turn and look in that direction when it even blips around the outside, just to make sure. Okay, there's someone from a distance. They've got a sniper rifle, whatever. But some of the people I play with, it's like, okay, yep, you can see it because I can see it. He's right there. Why don't you shoot him? And it's like, I don't know. It's just a pain. It really is, but. So I have been lots of fun with Destiny. I mean, the multiplayer is really fun. But I say shotguns, still overpowered. I mean, it's a pain in the ass, really, because they nerfed the... They nerfed the assault rifle. The auto rifle, which I love using because it's awesome. And it means I just literally just point and shoot. And, you know, I've got some good kills with it today as well, especially in that Rumble. Sort of distance kills, actually. But I'm still getting... fucked over by shotguns. I mean, the special moves, which I don't mind, you know, the super stuff, you know, the golden gun, I don't mind. It's annoying, but to be honest, if I literally, my, you know, that storm fist, that havoc cry, whatever the fuck that shit is, that pisses off a bunch of people as well. But you know, we do the super move. That's okay. But just some of the fusion rifles, like one hit kills. I'm like, how the hell? I mean, I tried to use the fusion rifle, and it's like. Okay, I've got to hold down. You've got to wait a couple of seconds for it to start up. I'm like, this is a pain in the ass. It really is. But it's just annoying. Shotguns still overpowered. Half the weapons are overpowered. And the auto rifle, they nerfed it a little bit. I am sort of feeling that it's not as strong as it used to be, which, to be honest, it is, because they said it isn't. It'd just be nice to have it back to its old power, because, you know, to help me take out these bastards who use shotguns. I mean, you know, most people use, I mean, shotguns are a secondary weapon. It's not a prime weapon, but everyone uses it like a primary. So it shouldn't be as powerful as a prime weapon. And, you know, I mean, yes, at close range, shotgun, yet one hit kill, but from a distance, no. I'm getting blown away way too quickly from people using shotguns at, you know, quite far away. But yeah, I mean, just trying to think what else. Oh yeah, that's what I was supposed to do. Yeah, this happened right before the show because I say I got myself a legendary Engram. I was doing one of the bounties to get was it 9,000 experience and kill like 10 fallen mages. And yeah, I had a rocket launcher. You know, I had one ammo in my rocket launcher. I thought I'd love to have got this on the clip to save the clip of it. But yeah, nothing happened. I completely forgot. And I don't understand how the clip stuff works. I mean, yes, the screenshots is okay, but you know, I'm not too sure about how to do the clip stuff properly. But yeah, I fired a rocket launcher when the carrier was dropping off some more troops in the place in the Cosmodrome where you fight the Walker. Yeah, they were one of those. And yeah, I got a legendary engram from it, from destroying all the troops at once. It was quite fun to watch. It's because, I don't know, people I was playing with, they all started doing it. It was like, you know, firing off rocket launchers up at all the troops as they're about to drop, and then basically just watch dead bodies just drop down to the floor, and then basically a bunch of like loot, like, you know, the white packs and green packs with your ammo, and then just they fall down straight after. It's very funny, it really was. But yeah, I got myself a legendary engram, which I think came with some ascendant energy, which is great, and I think I use that to upgrade my my rocket launcher, which, you know, swings and roundabouts. But yeah, I have been having a lot of fun with Destiny, even though I am getting kind of bored. But I say I'm sort of, it's at the end game stage. The stuff I can do, not a lot. And I get, if I get some good amount of bounties, I could do loads of stuff, you know, to get my score up. But yeah, there's nothing much to do. I mean, you know, I got enough Glimmer today to max out again, so I had to go and buy a bunch of weapons that I didn't need and then dismantle them just to, you know, use up the money. There has to be some sort of use for the Glimmer once you've got, because literally, I mean, I have no use for it apart from when I'm upgrading my weapons. And they should have increased the wallet size. It's something like 25,000. You play often enough, you're going to fill that wallet up quite quick, especially towards the end with all the engrams and guns and stuff you find from the green engrams. Yeah, it's so much stuff you can find. But yeah, I say Destiny, had a lot of fun with it today. Yeah, I can't forget what I've done with Destiny. You know, I would love to change my banner and you know, my icon and stuff like that. But I should. I mean, I'll probably have to go through and have a look. I mean, I say I've got all this glimmer. I should be able to buy something decent to represent my character or whatever. And you know, because I mean, I know you can use like Motor Light for stuff for the speaker, but I'd rather just sort of use that for when the Azure turns up and I can sort of trade him stuff. But yeah, so not much happened in Destiny apart from that. You know, December we get the expansion pack for like 30 odd quid. I don't know if I'll pick it up right away. I'll wait for everyone else to pick it up and then sort of make a decision myself. I mean, you know, as good as it's going to be, we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, it's tricky trying to find stuff to play at the moment. I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, there's games out that I want to play. I mean, I want to play the new Pokemon game. I want Assassin's Creed. I want Battlefield. You know, there's so many things out that I want, can't have, and I've still got to wait a little while before they come out. But so, yeah, I've got some you know, usual going to some Destiny stuff. I have this. This is what I was going to talk about last week, but I completely forgot about it. All right, one sec. This is from IGN. Bungie, there should be no single answer for how to win Destiny. How to win in Destiny. Yeah, here we go. Following several gameplay balances, Bungie has explained to players why such tweaks are necessary. In hotfix 1.0.2.2, Bungie changed how Destiny handles when it comes to shooting. Auto rifles received a 2% debuff, while scout rifles gained a 6% damage increase, and of course the legendary exotic Mythicast went from being overpowered to balanced. But to be honest, it's an exotic weapon. It should be more powerful. I mean, I love my heavy machine gun that I've got. I love it. You know, you take off the... If you... what the fuck is it? If you add the recoil... use the bonus thing that takes away some of the recoil. That thing's amazing. But yeah, it's all pretty cool. Sorry, tangent back to my sniper rifle I've got. My sniper rifle, I was doing the public events with the walkers. That is so good to take out the legs with on the when you're battling. I mean, I was doing like hundreds and hundreds of damage. A couple of shots was taking it out. It's a really good weapon to use, the sniper rifle I've got. But yeah, so once I get this final, whatever it's called, looking forward to using it. Oh, and back to the article I go. Little tangent. As Bungie puts it, auto rifle designed to be great. To be good at close range to mid-range combat. But the data Bungie was seeing didn't match up. Many players able to use auto rifle over longer ranges without much of a problem. Well, it depends on how big your TV screen is. I mean, I've got a giant TV, and you know, just sort of aiming up to get the insights. And you know, I mean, it's one of the kills I had today during the Rumble match that I won. We were on, I can't remember what the hell the name of the map is called, but it's like the one that's got. There's like an awning area, which is great for control because there's like the sea area is in that awning bit. And there's like some steps. And it's like there's an outside room, outside little building. It's like got like a tower and it's like a revolving thing. People don't know what I'm talking about. It's on Earth anyway. It's. I can't remember what it's called. But yeah, that's killing some people there in the underground bit where you can sort of. Sort of go round because one of the checkpoints is checkpoint B is in that underground bit. Yeah, I literally from across the distance of 40-50 meters, auto rifled someone, you know, shot them, killed them. You know, it was great. Where was I? Yes, yeah, here we go. Many players will use. Here we go. Yeah, there should be no single answer for how to win in Destiny, Bungie said. The auto rifle archetype is designed to appeal to players who like to throw up a wall of bullets and not worry if a few miss their target. I actually like to make sure all the bullets hit target because of the the debuff on the auto rifle and the fact that my aim is quite shit sometimes. So basically, I try and sort of control the where I'm aiming better when I am shooting people. Even though it's tricky, I still try and give it a go. Yeah, it is intended to inflict sustained damage at close to mid-range, medium range, but to lose effectiveness at longer ranges. Today, the auto rifle is too effective at long range, even beating scout and pulse rifles in some circumstances. Expect stability and or damage adjustments to the auto rifle to address this in weeks ahead. And yeah, it's, you know, still powerful, but I'm still getting, you know, blown away by people with fucking shotguns. But yeah, I say, to help balance things at long range, scout rifle users may notice their guns delivering a little more bang for their buck. Scout rifles are for players who like to keep their enemies at medium range and hate to miss. They intend to be awkward weapon to use at close range, but to be dominant as long as you land your shots at medium and longer ranges. Yeah, I think I need to try out the scout rifle because I get confused with the scout rifle and the pulse rifles. But yeah, I mean, I should give them both a try. Not in multiplayer, but you know, I think I've got. I know on the spare weapons I've got is like a shotgun, but I think I've got a scout rifle somewhere around in my inventory. I'll have to give it a go. Here we go. Yeah, sorry about. Scouts just aren't hitting enough today. Aren't hitting hard enough today when compared to the precision weapons. We'll be addressing this soon, they say. But to Mythicast, Bungie believes that players who conquer the toughest challenges in PvE setting, the Vault of Glass, which I've got some more stuff. I've got like a whole bunch of Destiny stuff, which I'll try and get out before the first break. Should have something they can show off, while gaining enough power to tear through enemy noobs. Enemy mobs. That said, Bungie said the Mythicast is to be a choice in multiplayer PvP. Not a go-to weapon for everyone looking for an easy win. Which was it's a pulse rifle. It's a fusion rifle, which you can put in your primary weapon slots. When most fusion rifles are in the secondary weapon slot, I don't get that. I mean, I don't really get that overall when it comes to the weapon slots. You've got all weapons are pretty much weapons, it's not like how the Call of Duty stuff set out, where you have like your primary weapon and then you'd have like a sidearm or something. It's sort of weird how it works, but you know, I don't mind. It's just a bit tricky. It says, you've braved our hardest challenge. We want to reward you with a weapon that outperforms the other primaries in PvE, Arsenal, Nightburn, and Epic Skulls, notwithstanding. Mythicast should be a valid choice in PvP, but should not be the optimal choice. This aligns it with our philosophy on exotics throughout the rest of the game. We don't want any one exotic to be the answer to the question, what should I bring into PvP? I can't remember. Sura's regime, which is the one I want, for instance, is still too effective in PvP compared to other exotics. Well, yeah, it's the auto rifle. It's an exotic auto rifle. That's the whole point. It's supposed to be, compared to, you know, the exotic, the legendary, legendary auto rifle I have now. Its stats are better with the Soros regime than what I have now. So, you know, and it holds more bullets and does more impact. Yeah, it's just overall better. And, you know, there's only a few more extra bullets, but it makes all the difference, to be honest, when you're, you know, shooting someone from mid-range to across the map. And, you know, but yeah, I mean, I really want that gun. Bungie signed off the latest update by letting players know that know what else is to be fixed. If you're one of the many, many players who've taken to convincing raid boss Atheon over the... yeah, it's all about the thing I talked about. I've been hearing about the Atheon. You can sort of push him over the ledge. That's been fixed. You know, most of this stuff is all what was read last week. But yeah, I mean, how do you win in Destiny? And basically, it's, you know, get your character up to 30. Get all ranks to level 3 and above. Have all your exotic armor and your exotic weapons, and you're pretty much done. And then when the new games come out or expansions, you just, you know, buy them and, you know, play through it, get the better weapons. You know, if there's any new gear, then you pick it up. It depends on how you want to go. I really want the matchmaking stuff to be fixed. I mean, we got a new patch today, which. It was a pain in the ass because I was in the middle of a mission trying to do a bounty. It was like, you know, complete this, kill this guy on heroic. And, you know, it was just one of those things. But yeah, I mean, it was a pain in the ass. So I had to sort of come out, update the, what do you call it? Oh, one sec, sorry. Yeah, it was, update the game and then go back in. So I had to restart it and, well, not restart it, but, resume it from this certain point, so I had to do bits and pieces again, which is okay. It's just tedious, really. Just tedious. But here's some games radar. This is something that I found last week, which is actually quite interesting. 10 things Destiny and Borderlands could learn from each other. Anything you can do is basically what they say here. Like two brothers who always bicker, Destiny and Borderlands have a lot more in common than either would probably like to admit. They're both first-person shooters, have a penchant for loot, and work best when played as part of a team of fellow gamers. But great though they clearly are, neither is perfect. So, short of banging the two games' heads together, which could be a little quite harsh and probably land us in trouble with their parents, let's look at what each can do. Let's look at what each could learn from the other, starting with what Destiny does. And, you know, because, say, Borderlands, the pre-sequels come out. It's okay, from what I've heard, but some people aren't liking it. The reviews are okay to moderate, but it's sort of, you know, stuff we've already got, really. And people are, you know, too busy enjoying Destiny. Borderlands could learn from Destiny's gun feel. Borderlands has some great weaponry, of course it does, but Destiny's guns feel better. They feel solid and weighty and could have the right amount of recoil. By comparison, Borderlands guns are floaty, not exactly cheap, as there is countless high-quality unique designs and effects, but clearly comparatively light. But to be honest, Borderlands is a cel-shaded, cartoony-style RPG action game. The whole design is on the guns being what they are, not on, you know, how they're supposed to feel. It's like, well, this zebra Mark III, whatever, gives me ice damage and then does multiple shots with a Gatling gun that pops out from the side. That's Borderlands. It's not supposed to be, okay, this feels kind of heavy. It doesn't feel heavy enough, but it feels heavy, but not how it should. And it doesn't sort of move like... That's not what Borderlands is. Destiny, yes, you could say, but Borderlands is more about having fun and just blowing the shit up of people. I mean, yes, that's what we're looking at when we see Destiny. It is, you know, I mean, when me and Roj play, it's literally, okay, let's go and kill shit, and that's it. And, you know, me and Sean are exactly the same, and my other mate Sean, we're exactly the same as well. It's basically, we just use the game to blow shit up and kill people. That's it. That's all we do. And John as well, when I eventually get around to playing with him. But yeah, I say, you know, I'll carry on running. To Borderlands credit, its heaviest guns take an age to reload and look like they at least weigh more than Destiny's rocket launchers. But yeah, they actually, I agree actually, because when I was doing the whole rocket stuff with a bunch of players in Cosmodrome, just running around with a rocket launcher on his shoulder, and you know, it looks like you're carrying a baguette. That's it. It's not very light at all, but not very heavy at all. But it does the damage it's supposed to. It's not really, you know, most of the stuff is cosmetic anyway these days. But the majority of weapons in Destiny simply feel better to use, and that's a fundamental aspect of the game. Yeah, it's the point. It's Destiny has a lot more serious element to it, whereas you know, Borderlands is, you know, fun hijinks. Really, you know. It's the, you know, the first of its kind, I guess. Borderlands could learn from it from Destiny's community features. Bungie has done a great job ensuring players feel part of a larger community. Certainly, happening across other players in the overworld helps that. But Borderlands isn't supposed to be that kind of game. Instead, favouring four-player enclosed co-op. And you can sort of do drop-in, drop-out as well with other players in Borderlands. But it could learn from Bungie.net, which allows Destiny players to view loads of stats, plot info, and even 3D representations of their character and gear. The number of times I've used this to show colleagues at work my Destiny setup is proof that it works. A Borderlands version of that would be brilliant, especially if in the in-browser version of your gun started criticizing you through your PC speakers, which would be cool, I guess. But to be honest, with Borderlands, you don't really need that. It's you have the drop when it comes to the community stuff. Yeah, you have your drop-in, drop-out co-op, and multiplayer and stuff like that. But anything else, it's not needed. It's not what Borderlands is. That's the whole reason why these games are different. Even though, you know, both RPG, first-person shooters, yeah, you don't really want to be able to do that sort of stuff with Borderlands. It's what it is. You're one of four characters. You've got, you know, I mean, you're all living the same story, but it's just different. Okay, this next thing. Scroll too far down the page. Borderlands could learn from Destiny's approach to DLC. Destiny updates have been plentiful already because the game is slightly broken, but you know, we're pushing through, we're having fun with it. No doubt we'll see a large expansion in the future. But the current drip feed of free high-level content such as raids and more challenging remix strikes, not to mention new vendors and multiplayer modes, is great. Which is, I'm actually looking forward to sort of doing maybe some Iron Banner stuff and bits and pieces like that. Now that I have my character at a certain level. Makes you want to cheap check in to see what's changed since you were last online. Borderlands does have DLC, but it's more traditional season pass fodder, not part of the organic development of the game. Which was the DLC we get for Destiny has a season pack. It's like £30 for like two packs. It also has golden keys that are given away via Gearbox's Twitter account that unlock rare loot, which is awesome, but that does kind of negate the fun of finding yourself. And the fact with Destiny, you can do what I am doing when it comes to the rare gear stuff and just doing daily raids. You know, I need to figure out how some of these people are getting the Ascendant Shards and Ascendant Energies once you've done a raid. I mean, I've got a couple because literally I was one of two people there, so they sort of just gave it to me. But carry on. Borderlands could learn from Destiny's competitive multiplayer. Borderlands is a multiplayer co-op game in the style of Left 4 Dead. Destiny does all that with its fire teams and matchmaking, yet still has the Crucible. This area opens up where you hit level 5 and allows you to play Halo-esque arena-based PvP as well as MP mission challenges thanks to the Iron Banner updates. What was I saying about DLC? The Crucible is certainly not attacked on a side. Is not attacked on a side as is titles. Was it? Oh, titles, leveling system and economy, and is just as big a reason to buy the game as the mission content. The Halo DNA is evident, and which that means exceptionally high quality multiplayer. I'd say the multiplayer in Destiny is much better than it is in Halo. I mean, I like the Halo multiplayer. I didn't play much of it, but it was okay, you know, for what it was. Borderlands does have dedicated areas for horde-like waves of enemies that hold up to four players, that take up to four players to can tackle together, which is a nice way to add some post-game fun, though, before the inevitable playthrough with better weapons on True Vault Hunter mode and above. But there's no PvP. Competitive Borderlands might well be chaotic, with gravity bowls, explosions everywhere, but it might also be amazing. Surely it's worth investigating. Well, that's the thing. That's the thing with Destiny as well. I mean, with the multiplayer, it's... I don't know. It's probably down to the... purely cosmetic. But, I mean, because, I mean, yes, we're all Titans or Hunters or Warlocks, but with this, with Borderlands, I mean, would you all be Salvador or Claptrap? You know, 8-on-8 or 4-on-4, and you know, three people are claptraps. It's you probably have the same problem that people have with the N64 when it came to GoldenEye. You know, the fact that with Odd Job you couldn't really kill him because guns wouldn't lower, and you know, everyone would pick him to play. Borderlands could learn from Destiny's AI. That's a lot from here. Borderlands could learn from. Small disclaimer: some of the enemies in Destiny don't seem so bright. No shit. This is Bungie. The people who made Halo. I mean, the little grunt things. I think it was the grunts. Yeah, they are pretty fucking stupid. that's the thing. It's all the enemies are the same. Like dregs and the grunts in Destiny. You know, in Borderlands. Halo. There we go. Treasure straight for you, even though they can clearly see the death that's awaited their five friends in front of them, who did the same thing. And that's how I play as well. I literally, when I need to get close to someone, I am hoping that I can punch them in the head before they can shoot me to death. And most of the time it doesn't work. Sometimes it does, but usually depends on how close I was to begin with before they started shooting. Yeah, the majority of enemies in Destiny are very good at finding cover and seem to have a much healthier regard for self-preservation as opposed to Borderlands enemies' more aggressive tactic or trying to hurt you as soon as possible. While both games have several tiers within enemy types, Destiny's classes do demonstrate notable differences behaviors. Going back to that Halo DNA, it's no coincidence that Halo started off its life as an RTS. That tier-based enemy class system is very much like you'd find in the kind of game and is subsequently more developed than Borderlands, badass versions of existing foes, which are often just harder to kill and more aggressive. Badass enemies are certainly not demonstrably more clever, which I can agree with, but yeah, it's a bit tricky trying to sort out your enemies. I mean, Destiny does a whole enemy thing where it's like, that you've seen like in RPGs and stuff. Well, okay, it's this enemy model, but you just give it different colours. I'll carry on. But Destiny could learn from Borderlands NPC characters. The NPCs in Destiny, and I've heard a lot of this from the Destiny podcast I listen to, talk about the sort of NPCs interaction stuff, and you know, I'll carry on with this. The NPCs in Destiny are universally dull, faceless, even though they have faces. Some of them have faces. Borderlands, on the other hand, has NPCs you'll remember for years. The reason for this is twofold. Firstly, they have memorable character designs, both from a backstory standpoint and visual design. But secondly, they are voiced brilliantly. And trust in my opinion, both are very well voiced. I mean, I'd never complain about both. They're both very entertaining to listen to. Destiny's voices are all very sullen, very serious, and there's no real need for this People in the future live in the remnants of a shattered society and not always going to be well-mannered, polite and well-spoken. Someone's got to have an interesting story to tell. Yeah, and it's basically down to the story. You know, there is no story, basically, for Destiny. Destiny can learn from Borderlands' split-screen co-op, which I've heard several people talk about. I personally played over 100 hours of split-screen Borderlands 2 on Xbox 360. It's technically proficient, though that I understand the PlayStation 3 version isn't so hot. And even the two-player co-op was riveting. A four-player split-screen is probably too much to ask, even though on new-gen. But either way, Destiny doesn't have local multiplayer of any kind. Imagine a three-person fire team on one large HDTV playing games online is awesome. Playing online with some people you know is even better, but playing games with people you know in the same room is where timeless gaming memories are made. I've got no one really locally enough to play. I mean, just this would help out like Sean and Royce because they have one PlayStation account with Destiny and two characters, and you can't play at the same time, which would be good. You know, it'd be good for them to, honestly, you know, play stuff together and everything. Destiny could learn from Borderlands' art design. I'm not suggesting Destiny should suddenly develop cell shading, but I do feel its magnificent high-res textures could be put to a better use at times. Its universe is supported to be a mixture of futuristic, man-made structures and alien architecture. But it's mostly just come across as a generic futuristic style, one that doesn't risk standing out in case it offends someone. Yeah, I mean, from the tower and various parts in Venus, I'm seeing like Dead Space and I'm seeing Mass Effect, which I don't mind. I'm seeing good stuff. I mean, Bungie, I mean, I love what I did like about Halo Reach was the stuff on Earth. I mean, the big in the disco hall when you had to fight the big giant thing with the rocket launchers, or both of them. It was fun. The graphics and architecture was really good. But I don't know, I'm guessing this person has a problem. Borderlands, on the other hand, has personality wherever you look. Everywhere you look, you glance at one screen from Borderlands and you can immediately tell which series it's from. The coherent yet varied art design is familiar, yet versatile, and I've never heard anyone complain that it's too out there. Destiny's alien worlds can look like anything its designers can dream up. Maybe the next panel will be more surprising. The next planet will be more surprising. They're not exactly alien worlds since they're planets in our solar system. I understand where he's going. Here we go. Destiny could learn from Borderlands' loot system. Borderlands has a lot of loot and it's always exciting. Guns, grenades, shield packs fly from downed enemies and bosses. Can be purchased through the levels and are pretty much guaranteed to be damn special when you happen across a loot chest. Sometimes it even literally rains down from the sky, which, yeah, I can agree with Borderlands because I know Sean sort of handheld me through several super bosses to get myself some better loot. By comparison, Destiny's loot chests are few and far between. Item drops are rare, even though loot plays a significant role in Destiny's post-level 20 content. You'd never know it from the way it's presented. I agree. It's just the whole random number generator stuff. Yes, there is a lack of, you know, legendary drops, exotic drops, if they ever happen, probably in the Vault Glass, that sort of stuff. But yeah, I mean, it would be nice if we could get some better things, you know, that would benefit our character, I guess. But I don't know. Borderlands players can also trade items between each other. Destiny's cannot, which I understand why. It's kind of bad, but it stops us. I mean, just if that happened, we'd all be like at level 30 by now, really, because you know we'd have like some sort of mule character who would do all this work, and then you sort of trade items across. You know, I mean, if you were going to do something like that, you'd have like an auction house or something, because you know, as few as the number of categories that you're going to need, there's still probably like hundreds and thousands of guns out there in Destiny that people would like to trade over with other people. Borderlands players can trade items with each other, Destiny cannot. So when certain items are locked to a specific character class, Destiny players are forced to either start a new character and claim the item from storage, which, you know, is what I was planning to do at later dates anyway, or just dismantle it for parts, which is what I do anyway, so I can get the parts, which is self-explanatory. Maybe someone else in the live, in the fire stream could have used it. Yeah, I mean, that would bring up, like, not loot drops exactly, but rolling for loot, you know, sort of calling it, and, you know, maybe. I mean, it would be interesting, but yeah, at this stage, it just wouldn't work. Yeah, here we go. This is the main thing. Destiny could learn from Borderlands' story. In Borderlands, your enemies do evil things. You know who you're fighting and why you're meant to be fighting them. Usually because they're very verbally taunting you. By comparison, Destiny has a plot that's open to significant interpretation. Sure, there's the darkness, which acts as an omnipresent menace, but the story missions up to level 20 lack the feeling environment of Borderlands. Both are scripted as your fights as you fight towards a goal, but Borderlands has clear antagonists and missions that progress the plot. Destiny's story just seems to be direct you from planet to planet before anyone a particularly open, predictably open conclusion, which is what it did. I mean, I knew when I told about this before. But me and Royce got to the end, and we were like, "Is that the end? Is that it?" And I said, "Well, I think so. I think that's like the end of the game." And it was, and it was very underwhelming. There's no story whatsoever. This approaching darkness, it's not exactly like it's the Reapers from Mass Effect. All very tough and scary, I guess, but it's tricky, really. Destiny's story is only just beginning. It's a prologue to the universe rather than its complete narrative, but telling it through observational dialogue from your ghost is not as involving, though there doesn't have to be a pantomime villain, but a little more talking from your foes, or at least some reassurance that you are fighting evil would help a lot. I mean, yeah, you have to read these Grimoire cards, which I have no time for, and it's just a waste of time for me. But just tell it in game, or what several people have suggested, when you're on the loading screen, something pops up about your enemies or whatever. If they've written so much backstory about this stuff, then we should be told it when we're playing, not having to stop playing to go to a website to find out all this information. For now, we make our own stories in the advanced post levels 20 missions, but that core narrative needs to be improved. How many? I think that's the last one. Oh, here we go. Yeah, that pretty much is the last one. but yeah, I mean, there's just so much stuff that I want to happen in Destiny and stuff I like to see, and it's just a bit of a pain, to be honest. I think, because I'm not going to take a break in a second, let's see if there's anything else that I've got on Destiny. I've got a few things. Just having a look here. Yeah, there is something, but I think that probably a bit... Oh, here you go. Yes, I've got two things, I think. Just double check. It's hard, because literally I know there's a whole bunch of stuff that I found and stuff I want to talk about and, things, basically. this is from Eurogamer. Destiny's Vital Glass Raid more difficult from today. There's an update on this which happened about 5 hours ago. Destiny players have spotted... let me start from the beginning and then I'll read the original story and then we'll go into it. Bungie's latest Destiny hotfix has shut down two-player tactics that were making the game's Vault of Glass raid a little easier than intended. The event's final boss could have previously been forced off his platform, which I talked about earlier, killing him instantly. This exploit has now been fixed. The boss will also randomly target players to teleport during the raid's final encounter. Previously, you could predict which he would select. And prep accordingly. Basically, I think it was like three closest people. Other issues mentioned in today's patch include server-side fixes to reduce the likelihood players will be kicked at the beginning of the mission. A number of future tweaks were also teased, including the long-awaited balance changes for some exotic weapons and better options for voice chat with match-made teams, which would be awesome. The ability to hold a large number of bounties at any one time is also on the way. Oh, a larger number. Oh, that's all right. Which one's... If... Which one's with that? I mean, I love doing the bounties because it's helping me, you know, rank up and stuff like that. But there has to be more choice of the bounties, more that you can actually hold as your character, and more that they give you, basically. I mean, I don't mind, you know... I mean, yesterday I had to do, like, 15 supers with my character. Today I had to do 15 supers with my character. I don't mind, but just more choice of whatever, really. You know, get 17 double downs in, you know, crucible mode. That would be fun, something like that. You know, there's so many ways they can go and do what they're doing with all the other bits. It's just a matter of time before they do it. Hang on, sorry, one sec. Let's go to the top, so it's fixed. This update says Destiny players have spotted a special gift now available from the... oh, yeah, I got this today as well. It's something I was going to talk about. Now available from the game's Postmaster. A trio of pumpkin head consumables for you to wear. Now I know what they're for, because literally I had them in my inventory. Each lasts 30 minutes, and you're able to travel between planets with your holiday headgear intact. Yeah, you go to the postmaster and they will give you these pumpkin head things because it's Halloween and yay and stuff, I guess. I say I'm not a fan of Halloween, but I just never bother with it anyway because I'm English. We don't really deal with that, even though I'll probably have some kids knocking on my door. I should get myself a giant cutout of Sean or something to scare them off. But yeah, you know, Destiny's raids much more difficult. And I've just realised what time is, and I need to take a break because literally I've opened a beer because now I got paid last week, so now I have beer in the house, and I haven't taken a sip in an hour, and my throat is really, really dry. But yeah, I have literally more Destiny stuff. I have something very, very good that makes me happy, which I'm taking half the credit for, which you will hear about in a few minutes once I have done with this break, and I'll see you in about 10 minutes or so. Take care.
And Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least two extra numbers and one extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we know
sign.
For sure. Yeah. It's a sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio. All one word.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
Well, that's where they started, yeah. But a priest biting another priest's ear off?
Colorado Dickhead said, did you see the dude in Texas who beat the minister to death with an electric guitar? You hear about that?
An electric, what do they don't have? What do they have, a slide guitar down there? They don't have electric guitars down
there?
It was
Monsignor Hendrix who did it.
Wow.
I just made that up.
Pretty good.
Thanks, Colorado Dickhead.
Father Clapton. Goes ape shit.
Brother Becht.
Friar Ray Vaughan goes ape shit in church. Now that's a big news.
Rabbi Little Richards.
That's where we go with Keith Richards.
Father Van Halen. Yeah, very nice. Yeah, Eddie Van Halo.
The Conti and Kenny Show. Monday nights, 7 to 10, on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Hey smokers, you stink worse than a dumpster. Stop living in the Middle Ages and try an electronic cigarette today by Smokeless Image. Just go to tinyurl.com/mlrsmoke. They're cheaper than regular cigarettes, don't smell, and come in a variety of flavors like fruit, mint, and traditional tobacco flavors. Order your new electronic cigarettes from Smokeless Image today by going to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke. That's tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke.
Yeah, we can't sell Betsy's milk to no one. Absolutely no one.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
You can't sell that milk.
I got pain. Until I hear it. Yo, I got pain. I'ma smell it.
Dude fucking takes the bread, shoves it in her ass, shits it back out, puts it in the case. That's how you wrap the bread.
You can jiggle your fist around in there without hitting the sides.
The Orange Room, 9 to 11, Saturday nights on More Like Radio.
If you're sick and tired of getting pro wrestling only after it's gone through the PG filter, then it's time you were introduced to Combat Zone Wrestling. Celebrating 15 years of ultra-violence, Combat Zone Wrestling will give you all the high-stakes, high-flying, and hard-hitting pro wrestling you can handle. Check out their live event schedule, get information on their next iPay-per-view, skim the roster, or shop for CZW merch right now at czwrestling.com. That's czwrestling.com. No dance segments, no endless talk of downloading apps, just wrestling. Combat Zone Wrestling, the ultra-violent underground.
Have you ever wanted something so bad that you do just about anything for it? Well, that's exactly how we feel about you. That's right. AdamandEve.com wants you so bad. We're giving you 10 free gifts with your first order. You heard me right. That's 10 free gifts to spice up your love life. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, an adventurous toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. That's 10 free gifts for you shy types who've never tried Adam and Eve before. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, a sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code DEAL48 at checkout and you'll get all 10 free gifts, including free shipping. That's offer code DEAL48. That's DEAL48 at adamandeve.com.
Listen to More Like Radio every Tuesday night for the answer to this question that's on everybody's lips.
What does the trunk say?
On your fuck. Oof. Ah.
What the trunk say?
I'm not one that judges penises.
Blah, 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 blah.
I can't understand what.
What does the trunk say?
Do it in a bourbon barrel. I am all over the goddamn place. Okay. Oh. Let me, excuse me,
what the drunk say?
I will fucking do that. I think that's enough of the racism there. Okay.
What does the drunk say?
Alcohol by Volume, Tuesdays 6 to 8 p.m. only on morelikeradio.com.
If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo Juice show, here's what you probably missed.
I just keep thinking to myself, and it makes me giggle, that every time I hear the story, I imagine it was Ray Romano in the same situation.
Oh.
Oh, man. Oh, bro.
Kind of does.
I barely touched her. Come on. Oh. Oh, it was my brother. Look at him. He's bigger than me. Come on. Oh. Come on. Everybody loves me. I got twins. Come on. Oh, let's go Home Depot. Come on.
Fess up, Raymond. You know it was you that got you on video.
Anybody want soup?
Ma, come on. We're talking over here.
Oh, man. I'm dying.
So if you learn anything from Hippo Juice, remember Ray Romano allegedly punched his wife in an elevator.
Right.
We don't report the news accurately. We report half of it. Whatever. It's still news. So fuck you guys. This is more entertaining than some football player.
Listen to the Hippo Juice show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on morelikeradio.com.
Hey, are you absolute garbage? Let me guess. An alcoholic? A drug addict?
When was the last time you were even out of your house? Well, why don't you join us for the Red Show? We're all about personal betterment and self-esteem.
I want to do, maybe like City Meets the Swamp, something. Something.
I hope it ends up with the fucking city getting eaten by a goddamn alligator.
Ambassadors of peace, at any income level.
That's what we do here. We're all about olive branches.
No, you're a fucking white trash asshole. You're about olive fucking garden, okay?
One thing we don't forget is how important our fans are.
Is there anything more you want to say about any of these cocksuckers that are listening?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
And we recognize the struggles and hardships of our friends.
We don't give a fuck. I hope you relapsed. Burn in hell, bull.
Oh, my God. What are you
I meant
doing?
I love you, bro. Get better.
So come join us live Wednesday nights and experience functional substance abuse on The Red Show. Only on More Like Radio. You're doing some things with Enya, correct?
I hope you end your life. Now get off the microphone while I talk to my pal.
What kind of store only has one thing on the shelf? T-Fury does. Now before you complain, listen to how it works. Each day a brand new t-shirt design becomes available for only 24 hours, then it's replaced by a new design the following day. They're all submitted by freelance artists too, so they're completely unique. They come in multiple colors and sizes, and they're all inspired by nerd and geek culture. And for only $11 per shirt, you can't go wrong. Check out today's limited edition design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs. Bookmark it and check back daily for new designs at tinyurl.com/MLRTEES.
Hey, guys, check out my sweet Chim Pokemon doll.
Please, Chim Pokemon dolls are so last week.
What? Yeah, dude, don't you know? It's all about the Chim Pokemon video game now. Did you bring your special Chim Pokemon game controller? Huh? No.
Oh, you didn't get a special Chim Pokemon game controller. Jesus Christ.
King Pokemon, what is primary objective?
To destroy the evil power.
I've got to buy all the Chim Pokemon so I can destroy the evil power.
Damn it.
I've got to buy them all. So first I better go to Hawaii and visit Pearl Harbor.
Try to bum the haba. Ready?
Go. I must buy them all.
We must buy them all.
Try to bum the haba.
So the video game gave Kenny a seizure. This game rules.
And welcome back to the second part of Antisocial Gamer Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. So I got more Destiny news, a whole bunch actually, I just double-checked while I was during the break. And taking plenty of swigs off my beer, which is always helpful. This is from Eurogamer. Bungie promises power matters in Destiny's new and improved Iron Banner. Plus counters to quitters, which I actually did a couple of times this week. I know I talked about last week rage quitting. It was one of those things. I had enough points or whatever. I was like, these two marks like matter to me. I'm leaving, so I did not once. I think it was like twice. Not too often, but I was like, I had to go to work. One of them, and the other one was like, just can't be arsed. I just sort of stopped playing for a while, so I just quit out of it. Destiny's Iron Banner mode is set to undergo sweeping changes when it returns to the game, developer Bungie has said. Chief among them is that power will matter, the studio promises in the latest Bungie weekly update. The Iron Banner is a special competitive multiplayer event in which player damage and armor ratings are supposed to matter. Normally the game's Crucible mode, in which PvP takes place, strips out player power advantages in an attempt to create a level playing field, which is good, except these shotguns are still fucking overpowered. But many players complained about the Iron Banner last time it was live for not providing high-level players with enough of an advantage. In the post, lead designer Tyson Green said, "When Iron Banner returns, that won't be a problem." Which I'm good. I'm looking forward to getting involved with it and actually doing something, because I actually like the look of the sort of banner, the actual banner you can buy once you get enough points and stuff. To sort of, mess around with. But yeah, I mean, I'll carry on reading. Here we go. Yeah. The goal for level advantages in PvP had been to create relatively small advantages that would offer that would suffice only to tilt the balance between players of equal skill towards a player of greater achievements, expressed in terms of his gear. So basically, the better the gear, the better you'll do. But that's only surpassed by how well you are as a player. I mean, I'm doing pretty well. You know, say I won a Rumble today, and you know, I actually do quite well. Surprisingly, you know, actually, I say, even though I'm saying it, it does surprise the hell out of me that I actually am doing so well when I do play in the multiplayer stuff. I'm, you know, some matches I'm sort of midway range, some matches I'm at the bottom, but quite a few of them I've been, you know, near the top and top of the leaderboard. I've got, you know, most points in a game, most kills, most points in a game once, and, you know, I mean, it surprised me today. I was playing Control, I had to get like 10, it was one of the bounties anyway for Control, and I'm like, okay, I was at like 2,000 points when the next person below me was at just over 1,100. I'm like, what the fuck is everyone else doing? You know, it's like I'm at the top for some reason, and the only reason that should be because the rest of my team is shit, and that's why I like playing with people who are better than me, because it sort of doesn't make me rest on my laurels a bit. It just means that I've got people there who I know have got my back and are getting the kills that we should be getting. You know, but I'll carry on reading as from this. This quote from Tyson Green. It says, but we now believe we have been too conservative. And this and that small tilt failed. What's that? Hang on one sec. I don't know. And that small tilt failed to meet anyone's expectations. What the fuck is he talking about? I've literally got Samuel L. Jackson in my head speaking to me now. In the next Iron Banner, we will debut a new, a much more dramatic difference between players of wide variation in level. We'll detail the changes in an article of its own to come as soon as we settle on some of the numbers, which would be good to find out. So the next Iron Banner will receive a fire team leader to be level 20 to enter. Lower level players may join with their level 20 chaperone. So, yeah, it's a plus one. It's, you know, my friend's at level 20. Here's my little mate. He's at plus six. He's at level six. Yeah, you can enter. But just, I said this to Royce because when I was getting my ass handed to me multiplayer stuff. Yeah, I waited until I was at least level 20 before I even attempted the multiplayer stuff because. Yeah, the gear you get when you're lower level is shit, and it doesn't hold up against anything that's in the multiplayer. And I was getting killed left, right, and centre. But now I've got some time. I can, you know, my character's great, the armor's amazing, guns are great. I'm kicking ass, you know, doing really well. But yeah, no one should be at low level when it comes to split-stone stuff in multiplayer, let alone the Iron Banner. I mean, Iron Banner, I recommend 25 and above because if anything below that. You're going to get shit. You know, everyone's going to kill you, and, you know, you're going to lose, especially with these new fixes they're going to introduce. Here we go. Okay, I'm reading. Another problem with the Iron Banner was players would quit the game early if it wasn't going their way. As reputation points were not awarded upon defeats, yeah, because you don't get them. That's what I'm saying. If you're good enough to get all the points and have where your character where they should be when it comes to the Iron Banner, the first time when it came out, then good for you, because, you know, you don't get any reputation points or whatever. But my character now, I have no need for any of that. I'm at where I should be with rank 3. I mean, I will be at rank 3 with Future Worlds very soon, probably by the end of the week at least. I mean, it's only Tuesday now, and I'm over halfway to there. So I literally need about 1,000 more points, which is 300-400 bounties done in a day. Yeah, I should be done by the end of the week. I'll carry on reading. Bungie's answer to this is to award a medallion I love this. Can you please edit your fucking writing? Read it through, people, when you're posting articles. Because I love this, look. It says, Bungie's answer to this is to award an Iron If medallion. No, it's a medallion to players on a loss. Yeah, for fuck's sake. Next time you win, each medallion you're carrying converts into a reputation gain almost equal to a win. Yeah, so basically, as I said last week, you get something if you lose. You know, God, these people are annoying. Then there's the armor and weapon issue. There was a feeling that the rewards on offer for doing well in Iron Banner did not justify the time required to gain them, especially if you already had exotic items and raid gear. I'm like that already. I mean, yes, the random number generator stuff is a pain in the arse, but to be honest, the people who do certain things, who get if you win, as I said, I won the Rumble. I got no reward. I should get a reward for winning the Rumble because, yeah, it's literally Battle of the Fittest. And I was the fittest and I kicked ass and I won. And I got fuck all. That's bad. If you get like top score, most kills, most points, you should get something as well. And then whoever's left, like the 6-7 people there, throw some shitty weapons at them or something. I mean, I've been in all of those different positions. I've been in all those different places before, and I've got shit and I've got good stuff. It just depends on the roll of the draw. The next Iron Banner includes exclusive new armor bump to level 30, but this was still only be available in two slots. For advanced players, this will make them viable, functional, or visual or side grades. Okay. Iron Banner weapons were already viable side grades for all but the most advanced players, but we would like to expand the options available, he continued. In the Iron Banner, the weapon types available will go from 2 to 4, divided between drops on match victory and purchase from Lord Saladin in the tower. Meanwhile, Iron Banner bounties... which are hard, really hard, will be made easier, thank you, and their value has been bumped up. That's been shifted to Lord Saladin 2, who was getting a little lonely back there with only his gong and dinosaur drawings. Look at the bounties for the Iron Banner. I understand that with the Iron Banner, it's all supposed to be really hard, and, it's your gear matters and that sort of stuff, but... the stuff they were asking you to do on the bounties was fucking stupid. I mean, some of the bounties we have now for, multiplayer and single player, it's like, some of the ones that I can do, it's not a problem. It's like, do your super that hits 2 or 3 enemies at once. And I was like, okay, yep, that's good. Yeah, I can do that. It's not a problem. That's probably one of the hardest stuff that I can do. Because literally you've got to make sure that you have 2 or 3 people. And it's great to do on control, because if you find someone who's trying to take over A, B, or C, and then you just pull off your super, you cry havoc, whatever, if you're a Titan, you can take 2 or 3 people out at once and no problem. But yeah, when it comes to the Iron Banner stuff, you're looking at... I think make some shit up now. It's like you have to get 40,000 points from top kills and... one hand in the air, leg on your arsehole. Yeah, it's really weird and stupid shit. I mean, people playing Destiny who are listening to me now, you know exactly what I've seen if you had a look for the Iron Banner stuff. That was astronomically hard. And, it was just a pain in the arse as well. But there's also a new feature called Reforging. This lets players reforge an Iron Banner weapon, including those from the last event. This re-rolls all of the upgrades, but also resets any progress. Basically, you'll need a small number of motes of light to do this, so keep hold of Timur's Lash if you have it. It has the potential to be made more useful. Okay, that sounds cool then. And to help those who can't play Destiny as much as others, and so struggle to gain much reputation during the week-long Iron Banner event, Bungie will introduce a 12-hour buff called Tempered, which boosts the Iron Banner reputation gains. That's cool. Even more stuff to help us players out who don't play Iron Banner as much, or people who don't have time for that sort of thing. On a good day off, with me personally speaking, I can get through a bunch of bounties no problem. If it's like, go through this map on heart, heroic, I could do that. It's not a problem. As the week goes forward, this boost will be increasingly potent to help players starting later in the week to catch up. Yeah. In Iron Banner, after the next, we expect that we will further tune these bonuses by increasing their potency, by limiting their effect to lower ranks, Bungie mentioned as Iron Banner reputation reset, which doesn't mean which doesn't actually mean a reputation reset for the next event. Rather, Iron Banner ranks have been increased to 5. In the next Iron Banner, you'll still have the rank achieved in the last, which, Charles, I agree, which is good. That's one of the things why I didn't do Iron Banner this first time as well. It's like, okay, I've got these points. That's what worries me about the Queen's Wrath stuff. It's like, yeah, okay, I did one or two bounties, and that was it. Probably got a little bit of points, probably like 200 points or something. When it comes back with the Queen's Wrath, will I have to start from zero again? Or because I mean, I did a couple, but you know, I was too focused on my faction stuff to actually give a shit about what stuff to do for the Queen. But now that most of that stuff's done with my character, I can focus on the Queen's Wrath. I can focus on the Iron Banner and try and get their ranks up to get their items and, you know, whatever shit they have for me, to be honest. But yeah, I'll carry on. Says here, but we still want players to come together for at least a few nights of team PvP, including veterans of the last event, so the Iron Banner ranks have been increased to 5. Some of the adjustments above will help players ascend more quickly through these ranks, in the future Iron Banners, we will change over the reputation to an event standing model where ranks are reset, but only after we better tune the efforts required to reach the higher ranks. Bungie suggested Iron Banner will return before the end of the year, but it sounds like Destiny's other event, Queen's Wrath, won't return anytime soon. Okay, so, you know, probably you've got 8 weeks now because, you know, next week it'll be October. November, because October's ending. You've got eight, nine weeks before Christmas and New Year's. So, you know, we'll get another Iron Banner then, and I can play it and talk about it and, you know, see what it's all about. Because I never really tried it when we had the debater out for it, but it looked fun. It sounds fun. It, you know, it's all about your skill, and I'm doing okay skill-wise, and my gear's doing pretty good as well, so I should do okay, I guess. You know, I probably won't get my ass handed to me as much as, you know, I think I will, but we'll see. Bungie says, it's all done. Okay, all right. I think I've got one more bit on Destiny, I think. Okay. No, I think that's it. I've probably got something somewhere, but I want to talk about this as soon as I can find it. Where the fuck is it gone? One second. Here we go. I am taking half the credit for this, ladies and gentlemen. Codemaster got some Eurogamer. They're taking the other half. Codemaster's making a Micro Machines style racer called Toybox Turbos. Now, the trailer for this is up on the Facebook page. I put it up there earlier. I am taking half the credit for this game being made. Yes, I am. Codemasters are making a Micro Machines style racer called Toybox Turbos. A 90s retro style game is due out on PC, Windows PC via Steam, priced £11.99, and is coming soon to Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. So I can play it on my PlayStation 3 as a download from the Xbox Game Store and the PlayStation Network. Toybox Turbos includes 18 circuits inspired by childhood locations, Codemasters said, such as a kitchen table, a school table, and a railway set. There's 4 local and online multiplayer, and 35 vehicles, such as sports cars, dragsters, taxis, ice cream vans, milk floats, and moon buggies. This game looks awesome. I've watched the trailer a couple times today. Yeah, I'm taking half the credit for this fucking thing. Because, me and Euro Gaming, we said to Codemasters, yes, we would like a Micro Machines game, please. And this is what they give us. Thank you very much, Codemasters. You guys are awesome. I'm buying this on my PlayStation 3 as soon as it fucking comes out. Because this game looks awesome. And I'd have to get my sister come around and we'll play the games together. And it'll be so much fun. This game is going to be awesome. It really is. I recommend everyone go on at Codemasters. I think that's their Twitter. Tell them I sent you. Tag, you know, at MLR Gamer Radio in the tweet to them. So, yep. Thank you for listening to me. And now we have a new game, sort of Micro Machine style, because, you know, I'm taking half the credit for this. Me and Eurogamer, we said, yep, can we have this? And they made it for us. But yeah, I mean, this game looks awesome. It's going to be tons of fun. I literally can't wait to play it. I really can't. When is it coming out, I say they said? Sorry, it's a very short article anyway. Just says soon, I guess. But yeah, 35 vehicles, 18 tracks. Oh, so much fun. God, I hope there was a bath. You know, look, I want a bathtub one. I love the bathtub one. And the pool table one looks pretty sweet as well. It's just micro machines, but with vehicles and guns and shit. It's going to be so much fun. It really, really is. Okay, let's find some more stuff. Where's the... here we go. Yeah. Oh, shit. Oops, sorry. Some PlayStation stuff, because literally I've been talking for the past hour on Destiny, literally. This is some Eurogamer as well. We've got a new firmware update for the PlayStation 4. I updated it today, and I found some really good stuff. So basically, yeah, what's new in the PlayStation 4's firmware update 2.0? It's now available for download in the UK, which I downloaded this morning. Here we go. The share play feature that's coming to PlayStation 4 as part of the firmware 2.0 update caps the resolution for guests to 720p, with the frame rate is also taking a hit as games are streamed from one console to another. Don't know why people do that. Sony showed the feature off in a demonstration at its London offices, with two players connected via a wired internet connection with EA Sports FIFA 15 as a test subject. Image quality was impressive, and lag was reportedly non-existent. Well, no shit, because they're in the same fucking office. Although, obviously, results are dependent on the quality of the internet available to the player. Yes, and the distance that they are doing it, because if you're in the same fucking office, you're in the same fucking building. Share play works on in a similar fashion to remote play with a PlayStation Vita, with the process of connecting simple and straightforward. Guests can be invited by heading to the party tab in the PlayStation 4's XMB. Once the connected host will be notified that they have company, a share screen allows guests to simply spectate, and the controller can be passed virtually from one player to another, regardless of whether the guest owns the game or not. So it's like a LAN party, sort of. Guests need to be subscribed to PlayStation. Subscribed to PlayStation Plus, though hosts do, and there are other restrictions in place. Sessions are limited to 60 minutes, it's a simple case of starting up to a new connection to kickstart another 60 minutes. While the host must be paid in a paid-up plus subscriber, any PlayStation 4 owner with an internet connection can be invited along. Okay, there's a whole bunch of this article. Lovely, lovely. I'm going to skip this bit because I don't get... Right. Half that was sort of double... That was double dutch to me because I had no clue about the sharing stuff. Because that's the thing. It's a couple of things, because people have been talking about this, I know, on Facebook and stuff. The whole Gamergate. I have no fucking care. I don't care about that shit. That means fuck all to me. Whatever it's about, I've seen bits and pieces, but if it actually mattered to me, I would talk about it on the show because I feel it's important. It's not important. It's not worth talking about. That's why stuff I'm not going to talk about. But this whole share stuff with the PlayStation, I don't get. You know, it's not important to me because I play with people thousands of miles away or hundreds of miles away from me, and we play normally, not a problem. But this whole share stuff, it's just a bullshit reason to want to play. Sit down sort of couch co-op stuff. That's all it is. And it's a waste of damn time because most people have a PlayStation. Most people who have a PlayStation 4, right, who would do this sort of share stuff, actually own a PlayStation Plus account, because if you didn't, you wouldn't be able to play online in the first place. It's okay if you want to do a test and see what it's like, but it's £40 a year, $50, whatever. Yeah, people who have PlayStation 4 and Xbox One have Xbox Live Gold and have PlayStation Plus. That's as simple as that it is. There's nothing else apart from that. So basically, I'm just going to skip it. YouTube functionality, which I've been using today. It's slightly broken because I tried to sign into my account and it just wasn't doing anything for me. So I'm like, okay, it barely gave me anything to watch apart from, you know, I watched Blackadder and some BBC stuff. But trying to sign in and stuff, it needs fixing. But yes, it's from tomorrow, which is today, because this article came out yesterday. You will have the option to download, option to upload directly to YouTube when hitting the share button on the PlayStation 4, which is nice. I'll have to do some little videos and stuff and then upload it to my YouTube channel, get some hits and stuff. And, you know, because I just use it for watching videos and stuff. I don't really bother to put games and stuff like that, you know, what I'm playing up. After hitting the button, you'll be able to trim and preview the footage before sharing, and you'll need a Google account connected to your PlayStation account before being able to publish. And yeah, and they need to have it fixed as well because it's just not working. Themes, simple but requested. The ability to customize your PlayStation 4's interface finally arrives tomorrow. Different colors are available from the existing Flow theme that's the default for the console, and 3 to 4 different themes which will be available. Game-specific themes for publishers shouldn't be too far behind, though we don't know just yet when and what to expect. One sec, just scroll down past. Is that the... Oh, yeah. And I'm guessing they're probably going to have to pay for them as well. Because with my 3DS, we got an update for that a little while ago, and now I have like themes, which I'm tempted to get a Pokemon one, but to my 3DS, I'm holding it right now, my Pikachu one. It scratched the buggery, there's damage on the hinges, and it's literally, it's on its way out, so I need to do all my Pokemon stuff now before it all breaks. Here we go. USB player music. No, it's USB music player. There we go. Inserting a USB loaded with some of your favourite music into the PlayStation 4 will now allow you to play your own tunes while playing, which is basically what we could do on the Xbox 360 7 years ago. Okay. You can jump on into the XMB at any point while playing a game to alter volume levels or skip tracks. I remember playing... So there was some Xbox 360. I was playing fucking Dead Rising with Scotty Doesn't Know from... what the fuck's the film? Eurotrip? Is that it one? I don't know. That was like non-stop while I was just killing zombies. Load of fun. Sony demonstrated the feature by streaming some Oasis over FIFA 15. There's no option to store or play music from the hard drive, but in what became a recurrent theme, Sony's aware of the demand and looking at solutions. So look for it in the future updates. Home screen improvements. The number of applications visible on the home screen has now been limited to 15, with any that stretch beyond that punted to the PlayStation 4's library. The library had a due overhaul with catamarangs. Categories now splitting applications up to their relevant sections, which I actually did have a look through the library as well, and it does look a lot more neater and more organised. As for folders, a perhaps more elegant solution to the problem of clutter on the PlayStation 4, as Sony aware of the on-demand and look at the solution. Yeah, more looking at the demands and all, you know, usual shit. Live from PlayStation's improvements. An overhaul of Live from PlayStation now makes it easier to follow streamers, and general usability has been improved. A follow button as well as feature text in front and center should make it easy to bypass the hundreds of streams of drunken, confused people sharing their Friday nights with you via Playroom, which I never bother with this shit anyway, because if I'm using a PlayStation 4, I'm playing games myself. I don't really want to be playing other people when I could be playing games myself with whatever. If I'm going to be watching something on my PlayStation 4, I'll probably watch it on YouTube, or I'm putting a DVD in because I'm playing Pokemon. You know, no shit there. And finally, the little things. Downloads can now be paused. Available voice commands are now listed, and Polish and Russian voice support has been added, so Dennis should be okay. How does it all improve the previous threadbare PlayStation 4 front end? It's hard to say without experiencing it for ourselves, and while the additions are all welcome, there are still some features that remain absent. Still a move in the right direction. We'll see further thoughts from you from the Digital Foundries in the near future. So good improvements. I'm glad. Apart from the fact that we got the new Toy Box Turbos games, there's no real reason for me to own a PlayStation 3 anymore, because YouTube is now on the PlayStation 4. Apart from the Metal Gear Solid 4 that I play a lot, But yeah, I mean, there's not much going on with. Oh shit! Wrong fucking thing. Yeah, there's not much reason for me to own a PlayStation 3 anymore, apart from the Toy Box Turbos and some Metal Gear Solid 4 action. God, I feel so much better now. Here we go. It's really good news. Really, 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 really good news. This is from Polygon. Classic Star Wars X-Wing and TIE Fighter games are getting digital re-releases. What have we got here? Yes. Star Wars X-Wing and its sequel, Star Wars TIE Fighter, which I played a demo of my old man's Windows 95 PC back in 15 plus years ago, will get special edition digital releases through GOG.com, according to announcements uncovered by members of the GOG forums. This is the first time the two classic Star Wars space combat sims, which first hit DOS computers early in the early 90s, will be available via digital distribution. Their discovery led GOG.com to post an official announcement a little early. The service has been teasing a new publishing deal that would be announced on Tuesday, which is today. Both X-Wing and TIE Fighters are coming to the digital distribution service as part of a new partnership with Disney. That will lead some 30 games being released via GOG.com without DRM protection. Star Wars X-Wing Special Edition will include the Star Wars X-Wing Collector's CD-ROM, with both Tours of Duty expansions, Imperial Pursuit, and the Big Wing, the Special Edition releases. The Special Edition releases of Star Wars TIE Fighter will include the Defenders of the Empire expansion, both in the 94 and 98 versions, GOG.com says. X-Wing and TIE Fighters will cost at least $10 each. Other LucasArts games that are part of the Disney and GOG.com partnership include Sam & Max, Hit the Road, The Secret of Monkey Island, Special Edition, Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis, and Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. Awesome. Love the Star Wars Knights of the Republic. It's just a pain that this is just coming to PC, because I want to play it. I really do, but I have one laptop, which is what I'm running the show off, and I have no clue whether... my laptop's fine. It's not exactly falling apart, but it's just I'd rather not put anything on it that doesn't need to be, so... I'll get myself a new laptop eventually and then play some X-Wing, which I never got to play, and TIE Fighter, which I played the demo of. And, yeah, those games are awesome. They really are. I just need to go on YouTube and watch some videos of this stuff just to, tide me over until these games come out. Let's find some more stuff. Okay, here we go. Yeah, let's have a look at this one now. This is from Eurogamer. ESRB in Dragon Age Inquisition, fellatio is implied. I'm not exactly sure what this means, but it interests me anyway. The Dragon Age series loves a bit of sex. BioWare loves a bit of sex. There are emotional adventures. They're bound to get a bit Channel 5, which is literally, I'm the only one who's going to understand that reference, but no one else. But how steamy will Dragon Age Inquisition get? Let the love god of age rating, the ESRB, explain. A female character briefly depicted in front of a man's torso. It rubs. Fellatio is implied. Characters depicted topless. It breathes. Or with exposed buttocks. It breathes again. It breathes again while lying in bed or after sex. I need to take a breath. Oh, there's dirty talk between the characters. I will bring myself... I can't even say this out loud without the audio getting cut up and used against me sometime soon. One politely points out whilst thinking about this with great respect. The way your tits bounce, another vividly imagines... When I pin your arms and take you on the side of the bed. Oh, this is going to get turned into a an ad for Antisocial Game Radio. Matt, you go ahead, mate. Yes, okay, this is embarrassing as fuck. It gets steamy, and it's for those reasons. Plus silly old violence, slit throats, impaled bodies, gurgles, cries of pain... And a bit of bad language, fuck, shit, arsehole. that Dragon Age Inquisition has been rated M for mature in the USA. No shit, really. The game's out here on five platforms: PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, on November 21st. So, just over a month from now. Yeah. Okay, that was fun. That was fun. I enjoyed that. I think I need to smoke a cigarette now. I don't even smoke. Here we go. Let's try and find something else. Okay. Here we go. This is something that happened the other day. It's from Eurogamer. Sledgehammer co-founder bemoans Call of Duty's Advanced Warfare leak. Sledgehammer Games co-founder Glenn Schofield has spoken out about a recent leak of Call of Duty Advanced Warfare that saw a number of announced details revealed ahead of the game's official release next week. Wow, is it coming out that soon? I didn't realise. Yesterday's afternoon announced information on the shooter emerged from a live stream on Twitch. A user called AnFury29, my eyes are fucking buzzed, broadcast Advanced Warfare gameplay, and Call of Duty YouTubers were quick to pounce on it before the stream was shut down. There may be spoilers ahead. One called Team RTN picked up on the DNA bomb, a 30-gun streak, a MP... What the fuck's that? MP first points out this can only be achieved if you get 30 kills in one life. Well, yeah, good luck with that. The DNA bomb kills enemies on the opposing team. Once detonated, leaves behind a green mist that spreads throughout the battlefield before dissipating. So basically it's like a nuke, really. Meanwhile, the option to turn on and off paintball effects was unearthed from the full list of weapon camouflage patterns have been revealed. Video game leaks are nothing new, of course, especially the one this close to release. But a clearly upset Schofield was not impressed. He says, "We took three years to make a game." I'll erase it on Twitter. That's why he's using numbers. Here we go. Yeah, keep it quiet before the fans. Keep it quiet for the fans. I'm trying to read Twitter speak here. It's a pain in the ass. It has to be stolen and leaked a week before. That sucks. A real bummer. Thanks a lot. One follower suggested the leak satisfied a need for players for more information on the game, but Schofield countered that by claiming that code was stolen at some point along Activision's normally tight supply chain. He says, "I realise that, but stealing and releasing is not the answer," he said. "Then it's a big deal to us, because discovery while playing is part of the fun. It will all be good," he says. It will all be good, just saying. Okay. Yeah, but she wants half the shit. It's all multiplayer stuff anyway. I mean, it's not story stuff, and it's a Call of Duty game. I posted the Honest Trailers. They did a Call of Duty one. I put that on the Facebook page as well. And yeah, all the Call of Duty games are exactly the fucking same. It's, you know, weapons, guns, kill streaks, and yeah, 30 kills in a... You have to be playing some really shit people to get 30 kills in one life. I mean, you know, you have to be pretty fucking invincible. But I don't know. You know, I'm sure I'm not that fast. I mean, you know, it's Call of Duty. It's just same shit every fucking year. It really is. Let's find some more information, because literally I am running out of time. Let's have a look at this. What's this one here? This should wrap up the show. If I can not scroll past it, would be helpful. It's from Eurogamer. I keep fucking scrolling past it. Jeez, bloody sticky fingers. More Assassin's Creed Chronicles spin-offs planned. Ubisoft is planning multiple chapters of its new Assassin's Creed Chronicles side-scrolling spin-off. The only game announced so far, Assassin's Creed Chronicles China, is being developed by UK studios Climax Studios and features Chinese assassin Xiao Jun. Jun previously appeared in the novelization of Assassin's Creed Revolution and in Assassin's Creed Embers as an animated epilogue for that game. We really liked the side-scrolling idea. the like Mark of the Ninja. And I love Mark of the Ninja. And we thought it would be a really great way to explore some of the other universes we've created. Assassin's Creed Unity director Alex Amicio told Eurogamer. This is one thing that's really cool is that every one of the chapters of this game will be in the art style representation of the era and the time. This is why Xiao Jun's game is like Chinese ink and very black and red. Once we have other characters and time frames, that art style will completely change to match that specific character. Again, set in ancient Egypt, another highly requested location could feature visuals styled around a papyrus scroll, for example. Amancio wasn't able to say how future entries in a series would be released, whether as expansions to Assassin's Creed Chronicles China or a standalone downloadable games, but other fan favorite characters may also appear, he hinted. I don't want to spoil the surprise, Amancio continued, but the idea is that we have this rich universe. We're going to use it. Slimax side-scrolling gameplay concept for Assassin's Creed Chronicles began a striking resemblance to Climax's side-scrolling Prince of Persia prototype, canned back in 2012, but thus spotted in a screenshot posted online last year. The screenshot in question are from Prototype, we decided to create last year during exploratory discussions we had with Ubisoft. Climax boss Simon Gardner told Eurogamer at the time, this never went any further. But Eurogamer understands that Ubisoft liked the prototype and asked the studio to go forward with an Assassin's Creed spin-off instead. And, you know, I'm just having a look here. That screenshot's actually pretty cool. And this actually looks really interesting. I haven't watched the trailer yet. They've got the trailer here. So once the show's done, which is pretty much now, I will give it a watch. Pretty much show is done for another week. Thank you a lot for listening. If you do want to get in touch, you can always Skype in. It's Antisocial Game Radio. It's all one word. If you want to email me, it's antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. If you want to join the Facebook group, it's facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. If you want to join our Facebook, like our Facebook page, which I highly recommend. So I want to get to 200 by Christmas. facebook.com/antisocialgameradio. And don't forget as well, you can follow us on Twitter and I'll follow you back at @MLRGamerRadio. Now, if you want any of these details, you want to know any other shows, you go to morelikeradio.com. I say I go live at 9 p.m., which will be next week, UK time, which is 4 p.m. Eastern, every Tuesday. And say coming up late after me now is Alcohol by Volume with Kevin, and then you've got Johnny Five with My Time Now. And followed up to finish up the night, we have Dutch and Royce. Don't forget, tomorrow, Hipper Juice, Red Show. Go to morelikeradio.com, look at all the shows, get all the dates, you know, interact. Come in the chat room. There's, you know, loads of people in there now, and, you know, loads of people in later for Kevin and everyone else. Get in touch with the radio station. If you have a topic you want me to talk about, you know, I'm not going to talk about the Gamer Gate stuff because that's just a point, just a waste of time. Email me, let me know, message me. Get involved. That's pretty much it for this week. I am done. I am tired. And I need to finish off my beer that I've been drinking for 2 hours. That's such a lightweight. I'm done. And I will see you again next week. Take care, people. Bye.
Actually brought anything to the table?
My God, what a bag of burden that British piece of shit was. Holy shit.
A woman can pilot.
From everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
Area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or northwest, or northeast or east. Occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain, rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor.